All right, on this Tuesday morning, big, big news regarding the Blue Water Bridge Customs Plaza expansion. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting on this project. Now, a huge step forward with a $25 million federal grant that's going to help to put this all together. Joining us right now to tell us more about this, Congressman Paul Mitchell. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
This has been long delayed. I want to talk a little bit about the timing of this. I mean, here we are in the midst of a global pandemic, and we've waited and waited and waited. How did this come about now?
Well, once again, the state applied for something called an infra grant, and the political legislature, the delegation supported it. I've supported it numerous times, had multiple conversations with the Department of Transportation, U.S. Department of Transportation, and advised them this time that, frankly, they either came up with a mechanism to fund the plaza, or I was going to, through the appropriations process, force them to fund it or give the land back. It's been over a decade that land has sat there unused, not helping the city of Port Huron, not helping the community. And, I believe in the use it or lose it mentality. So push them a little bit, and I believe that we're successful in getting this move forward. That's a great, great thing. Been over a decade, as you know.
Absolutely. Of course, this isn't going to completely fund it. There has to be more money, but it looks like it's a big piece of the puzzle, isn't it?
Well, it goes with state monies that the state is committed to it. I understand. We were told yesterday by the U.S. Department of Transportation folks that they have talked with the state about it, and the federal money combined with state money, they believe that they can accomplish this task and move forward with it. So I don't have to budget it. I just am pleased that $25 million, as my grandmother used to say, $25 million, it's better than a stick in the eye. Let's put it that way, Paul.
It is indeed. Do you get any sense of when all the funding is going to be put in place and when this project might move forward?
No, that's up to the state. State Department of Transportation will receive the money, match it with their money, and move forward with contracts and that. That's all managed through the state. They in fact, hold the land as well. So I don't know. I know there's a somewhat revised plan from the original plan. The volume is not as high across the bridge as they originally had projected. So I think it's a smaller scale project, and that still has to be resolved. But they've committed the money, and that's an important step, as you know. I mean, we've been really successful. It's between this the Sioux Lacs north of here, which has a huge impact on our economy, finally getting that moved forward after long, long delays in terms of building a second lock. So we're finally getting some infrastructure issues resolved. The Mound Road project, which was 2 years ago funded by the Department of Transportation down in Macomb County, we're finally getting some major infrastructure projects underway here.
Boy, we've talked about this before. I mean, infrastructure is so important, not just here in Michigan, but nationwide. I mean, it really seems like, and obviously in the midst of a pandemic when trillions of dollars are going toward relief efforts from COVID-19. But prior to that, I always thought, man, if Congress and the president could come to terms on a major infrastructure program, that's so needed right now.
It is needed. Part of the hesitance to do that, if you recall, during the last recession with the Obama administration, there was an effort and they funded what were shovel-ready projects and analysis that they weren't really shovel-ready. Many of them didn't get off the ground. Some that didn't move forward. They didn't create the jobs they'd hoped to. I think we need a targeted infrastructure program, but we shouldn't assume it will create be the job creator, but it does help our economies. I did a joint op-ed and policy paper with a Democrat from California, Salud Carbajal, about creating a national infrastructure investment fund to provide funds to the states as a block grant to let them decide what was important in the state. The idea that the federal government should decide, like this project, well, yeah, you get money and you don't. They should simply make a decision what the allocations are to the state based on a formula. Let the states decide how best to put that money in place, be it the Blue Water Plaza, rural broadband, which is a huge issue in terms of internet connectivity, some of our bridges. There's a lot of things that could be done, and it should be a decision that's made as close to locally as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about the COVID-19. Obviously, here in Michigan, our numbers are going down. Other parts of the country are seeing their numbers going back up now that things are reopening. We're obviously not out of the woods yet nationally. is Congress going to consider more funding, more stimulus money? What are the next steps that are going to be taken?
I think, two things, Paul. One is we need to watch the numbers in terms of hospitalizations. I think that's always been the key, and it was the reason originally we had our lockdown orders, or stay-at-home orders in Michigan, was to avoid overwhelming our healthcare system. Hospitalizations are the one stable number in all of that you can look at and say medical professionals decide these people need care. A number of people will get COVID-19, and it will be the flu, a bad case of the flu, but not necessarily require hospitalization or be at risk. I think additional support will come in specific targeted ways so that we can address cleared issues of restarting. I saw an article yesterday, and one of the big questions are people are ready to go back to work, but what happens with their children? Daycares and schools reopening are a big question. How we do that, how we support that. Small business is still on the edge. There's some particular industries that are having trouble getting restarted. But we have to, part of the question is reopening and then addressing where we have specific challenges. Some will be smoother than others. For example, Fiat Chrysler is now running at about 96% full employment. They're back building vehicles. They've been back a couple of weeks. So some are doing better than others, and I think we need to address what needs are.
Yeah, absolutely. Last time we talked was a few weeks ago, and it was really before all these demonstrations began. A lot of racial unrest in our country right now. What, if anything, can Congress do to address it right now? What does the president need to say? What needs to happen in Washington right now, Congressman?
Well, as you've seen, I'm sure in the media, there's a policing reform bill that's coming forward that. The Democrats have put forward. I've talked to Karen Bass, who is the lead sponsor of this. She's the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. In fact, we co-chair the Foster Youth Caucus together. I know Karen well. We've talked about some things that, on a bipartisan basis, we can agree, because I think there are some policing reforms that can be undertaken. For example, I don't understand, nor is acceptable to me, chokeholds. They should be banned. I voted in favor of an anti-lynching, making lynching a federal crime multiple times. It's been held up in the Senate. I believe that an officer charged three or more times with excessive use of force, that investigation has to happen at a federal level so that we get it out of the local jurisdiction, so we start to address where there's systemic issues. We can go through a list of things. I don't agree with everything they're talking about doing in that bill. For example, there's discussion about these four officers in Minneapolis not being having qualified immunity and not being subject to a lawsuit. Well, first, they're subject to criminal charges, which are going to be far worse than a civil lawsuit, I think. More importantly is that you only have qualified immunity if you stay within the law, within your training, and within your standard operating procedures. I assure you, if you look at the video, that didn't happen in any of those things. And so they can't claim qualified immunity. As I said, I think the concerns about a civil lawsuit are pretty minor compared to the criminal charges they face. The bigger issue we have, Paul, is law enforcement is not responsible for the inequities we have in terms of economic opportunity in this country, educational opportunity. You think about our education system in Michigan and this country, the inequities there are massive. They haven't gotten better I went to high school and graduated in 74, okay, and still they're not any better now than they were in 74 or went to college. We need to address those systemic kinds of things, and it's just not a matter of throwing money at it. It's a matter of systemic changes, because without quality education, economic opportunity is a real problem for an awful lot of groups in this country.
There are no easy answers, are there?
No. We've talked before. I've been involved in workforce programs for 35 years of my life, helping people secure jobs, get the education and training they need to move forward for employment. We operated some of the largest welfare work programs in the country when that was something that operated around, and we're very successful and effective doing that. I spent my entire career involved in helping people with economic opportunity. I'm telling you, it hasn't gone away. We spent trillions of dollars doing it. The war on poverty started in the Johnson administration, yet we continue to cycle through this. And I think serious people need to take a step back and say, what do we do about this? And how do we make meaningful changes in this to deal with the frustrations that people have, and they're valid. I have no question whatsoever. Policing is one issue, but it's only a small part of the problem.
Yeah, for sure. Congressman, we always appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks for joining us this morning. We'll hopefully talk again very soon.
You take care, Paul. It was good to talk to you, sir.
All right.